Matthew 15, let's begin reading a familiar text. My subject, honor your mother. Matthew 15, the word of God says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" And that is enough to really irritate our Lord. Why do they transgress the traditions of the elders? And just notice that as he puts it in perspective. "For they wash not their hands when they eat." You know, that's the mark of a Pharisee. They're so careful to observe a tradition that they endear that you don't particularly endear. And they will use that, like, for example, if you choose, you know, "That's not really my thing." And then we're talking about a tradition, not talking about doctrine. And if that's not the way you believe it or the way you do it, then that sets the chemistry or the fellowship. They're going to fellowship with you if you're in that little circle, and they're certainly not going to if you're outside of that. So that's worth noting. "He answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Now that's turning it on its head. "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Honor not his father or mother, he shall be free." This is what you typically go around teaching, and I'll explain that in just a moment. In doing so, he says, "You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." You're hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, "The people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men." Honor your mother. Would you bow as we ask the Lord to help us in this very important study today? Father, I ask you as humbly as I know how to give me that unction that only comes from you that will enable me to preach your word with clarity and with power, compassion, conviction, all of those necessary components of the kind of preaching that moves hearts towards you. I can't do it without you, and I humbly ask you to help me this morning so your people will be helped. In Christ's name, amen. You know, we've all heard the illustration that the closest thing to divine love is the love of a mother. And I don't argue with that. While no human love is certainly perfect and can be completely compared to God's love, a mother's love certainly is perhaps our best illustration of what God's love looks like. For example, even our Lord Jesus, when he was lamenting over the children of Israel, because he loved Israel's children, and he had sent prophets to them, and he had pled with them, and did many wonderful works in their presence, but yet they continued to reject him. He described his broken heart like a mother hen. He said, "I have carried you," or "I have gathered you together like a hen would gather her little chickens under her wings." In other words, "I took you under and I nurtured you and I loved on you and I mothered you, but yet you neglect me, you reject me." And so there is a wonderful thought there that the love of God does have a mothering kind of ministry to it. For example, the Holy Spirit, in my mind, has a mothering ministry, if you'll allow me to say that. For example, the Holy Spirit, he births us. It is the Spirit of God that births you into his family. The Bible says you are born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit that brings us into the family of God. And it's your mother that birthed you. She brought you into the world. So she has a unique ministry, somewhat like the Holy Spirit, and she's directly connected to your life and your growth. You would not be here without your mother. And so she watched over you, much the way the Holy Spirit, when you were birthed into his family, then he watched over you. He fed you with just little morsels of the Word of God that just thrilled you. And then your mother does that. She feeds you with what's appropriate for you to have. And there'll be things that she feeds you later that she didn't feed you when you were just a baby because you weren't ready for it. The Holy Spirit knows how to bring us along like that, as does a mother. I remember when my son, my firstborn, was here, and Sonny would feed him those green beans out of the Gerber jars, you know. And it was the most disgusting-looking thing I had ever seen in my life. And so one day, you know, he's gobbling those down, and I thought, is this right to give this kid this stuff? So I took my finger, and I tasted it, and it looked like turtle spit to me. I mean, and I thought, that's the most disgusting thing. But when you tried to feed him other things that were much, you know, in my mind, a lot better than that, he didn't want that. He wanted that. But he discovered over time as he grew what tasted better. And that's the way the Holy Spirit does. He knows what we need and when we need it and how we need it. Mothers are that way. They know how to feed us and how to take care of us and how to nurture us. Then there's that day where the Holy Spirit will kind of take his hands, not take his hands off in the sense that he leaves us alone, but he lets you endure that trial. He lets you have that hard day at work. He lets you feel that loneliness that you sometimes feel that you thought once you came to Christ you would never feel again. He lets you walk through the fire, as it were, because he's trying to grow you and mature you and train you. And so mothers are that way. I remember the first time my mother, she was very protective of me as a small child, and it's hard to believe now, but we lived so close to the school. I went to the first grade in Midfield, and there was where I was, where we lived, there was a little trail that led from our house to the school, so we could walk down that path and come back. And there were a group of boys, there were two twin boys, Lonnie and Ronnie, and they were tall guys. And I was just scared of my own shadow when it came to them, I'm telling you. So they'd sit there at the end of the trial, and they would pick at me and all this kind of stuff, and they'd want to fight, and I was too scared to fight and all that. I wouldn't dare tell my dad that, but I finally broke down and told my mom. And I said, they're Lonnie and Ronnie. Well, she got so mad. And so one day I played like I was sick, and she knew I was just scared of Lonnie and Ronnie. But she took me to the store, and she bought me a Mr. Potato Head. And I sat out there on the porch, and I was playing with Mr. Potato Head and all that. And I was so glad that I didn't have to go to school because I didn't have to face those guys. Well, eventually my dad found out. And then I'll just say this. It changed. It turned my whole life around. That's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, you know, mothers, they just have that. They want to reach out, and they protect us and all like that. And the Holy Spirit does that for a while, but sometimes he has to put us out there and let us fight that battle. He won't forsake us in that, but he's there. So your mother has a lot to do. She's a type of the Holy Spirit in the home. For example, the Holy Spirit sets the atmosphere in this church. When the Holy Spirit just kind of blows on this garden, then you can just tell he's here. And there's something about a mom in a home when things are going well and she's enjoying life and enjoying her kids, enjoying her husband, enjoying all that it has to offer. It's a wonderful atmosphere in the home. But have you ever noticed they sell these plaques that say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? She sets that atmosphere in the home, much like the Holy Spirit does in the church. A mom, like the Spirit of the Lord, is a guide for us. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. It's your mother that taught you some of those things early in your life that you hold dear today. She's your first teacher, your primary teacher. She taught you how to talk. I just bet the first thing she taught you how to say was mama. You know, she taught you how to walk, and she was right there with you when you started walking. She knew you were going to fall, so she was just there. She wouldn't let you out of her sight or too far away from you, but she taught you to talk. She taught you to walk. If she's a good mom, and I know our church is filled with good moms, she taught you how to respect the head of the house. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit's job is? He testifies of Jesus. He points others to Christ. And so in the home, a good mom will say, you need to listen to your father. You know, she doesn't pit herself against the dad in the home, but she cooperates. And when the children are upset about whatever the rules are in the home, she points out and said, hey, your father, he's there for you because he loves you and he's telling you what's right. And there's not this big division in the home. A lot of homes get in trouble because mom and dad can't agree on how you discipline them. Whatever your disagreements are about that, you ought to do that in private. And the mom should respect and point to the father as a teacher in the home also. And a good mother does that. So there's growth involved. There's guiding and gifts. A lot of what you are today are the things you inherited from your mother. And some of the things you don't particularly like about your mom, you inherited from her. Some things that you very much need, you inherited from your mom. And so, I'm a man, but I know there are things that I got directly from my mom. And some of those things I'm very grateful for, I'm humbled by, and in a nice way, I'm proud to say that I'm like my mom in that area. It doesn't bother me at all. And so, when you think about Mother's Day, of course, my mother's in heaven now, and Jesus said it is a command that is still in the books today that you are to honor your mother. Of course, your father and your mother, but today's Mother's Day, so we're emphasizing that. The word honor means to put value on, to venerate. That means to revere, to adore. And because the word is sometimes used to describe the way we're to honor God, it actually means worship. Now, the context decides that. Now, I don't think he's teaching us to worship our parents, but I think that our love for our mom should be so real and so great that we adore her. We fix value on her words and the things that she's taught us. You know, you talk about a mother's love being like God's love. There is no other example on this earth of unselfish love like a mother's love. She is very unselfish. And kids, I'm not trying to make you mad, but because you're young and you don't understand and maybe you don't have children yet, there's not a better example of selfishness than the child. And so you've got the unselfish love of the mother and you've got the absolute selfishness of the child. But the mother understands this and she doesn't complain. For example, the mother gets up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was when you're sick, and she does whatever it takes to get you back to sleep. You didn't give it one thought that you woke her up, and she's tired too. She walks in there and looks at the dishes that she was too tired to put, or didn't have time to put up last night because she was busy taking care of you or whatever your needs were. And so there's an unselfish way she gives, and then there is this naturally selfish way we, when we're small and don't know how to appreciate what all our mom does for us, but yet mom just keeps on loving. She just keeps on doing. She just keeps on giving. I mean, as long as there's a biscuit on the table, your mom's going to let you have the top half every time. And if there's not a whole lot there, she's not as hungry as she thought she was because she's going to make sure you're fed. And what you're going to do as a child, you're going to eat that with gusto without the slightest regard for the fact that mom may be hungry too, but she is only concerned about whether or not you have been properly fed. It is an unselfish kind of love the way a mother does. And because when we're children, we're immature and we don't understand, we are by our very nature selfish. So there's a lot of reasons why Jesus would point out you people should be honoring your mothers and your fathers. They come to Jesus and they want to try to trip him up, and they've noticed things that they didn't like about his disciples and said, hey, we notice they're not keeping up with tradition around here. And Jesus has watched the way they've lived their lives and with regard to the way they treat their parents. And he says, hey, by the way, there's something I want to talk to you about. Why is it that you make void the commandment of God and you hang on to all your traditions? You don't honor your father and mother. He just points out one. I'm sure he could have pointed out many, but this was what was on his mind at the time. That fifth commandment, you break it often. Now, he was talking to people that knew well what the commandments were. Exodus 21:17 tells us this, that if you break this commandment, you can be put to death. And that's a fact. So it's a terrible thing to disrespect your mother. Now, I put together just this little acrostic here, and it's just going to take a minute, and then I want to get right back into explaining what our Lord meant. But I thought I'd mess around with the word honor here. Why you should honor your mother, and for all you grammar people, this is the spelling from the King James, okay? Because I know it annoys you when you see something that doesn't like it spelled properly, but that's our King James rendering. So using the word honor, you should honor her because she has a special heart for you. Nobody loves you like she does. Sometimes you may meet someone in your life and say, well, you know, I love you just like you're my own. I love you like my own son, Frank. Love you like my own daughter. No, they don't. Tell them to pay your college bill. You know, when you're 16, tell them what car you want. Nobody loves you like she loves you. She has a special heart for you. Nobody would put up with you like she puts up with you. So honor her. She helps you. She has a heart like no other, and she helps you like no one else will, or when no one else will. The O, I said, she's omniscient when it comes to you. That's for the O there. She's omniscient when it comes to you. Now, what I mean by that, she's not omniscient like God, who knows everything, but she seems to know everything about you, don't she? I mean, you can walk in the room and she can tell what kind of day you've had. My mom, even when she was very, very sick, she'd look at me and she'd say, and she said this about every time I saw her later, as I started to have a real complex about it. She'd say, Frank, you look tired, son. You look tired. She did. I can just still see her sweet little face. She'd say, hey, son, you okay? You just look tired. I mean, she's dying with brain cancer. And I walk in the room and, you look tired, son. Are you okay? Moms have an awareness about us that is unique. We were formed inside their bellies. And they know us like no one else knows us. And love us and help us like no one else can. She needs you. You know, the thing that thrills your mother the most is to know that you know she's there for you and she needs you. Now, you need her, and you realize that, but I guarantee you mothers feel this way. They need to. It's not that she's trying to nag you or control your life, but she needs a relationship with you. You want to make a mom sad is when she feels that the relationship with that child has been broken or severed in some way. She feels detached or disconnected from you. And that's why it's so difficult when kids come to an age when they're transitioning into adulthood and there's that turning loose and watching and kind of backing off and all that. And that's a process that's sometimes painful and is hard on mom sometimes and it's hard on dad sometimes too. But you get through that and you make full circle and you become friends, but she never stops needing. She needs to hear from you. She needs you to call her and tell her. You know, don't say to your mom today, you know, Mom, I love you. Tell her why you love her. That's the biggest thing I think sometimes people say, you know, hey, I love you. Well, why do you love them? What is it that you love so much about this person? If you say, Mom, thank you for everything. No, that's not good. Thank her for everything. Tell her what you're grateful for. You know, when you say, thank you for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for this, give her some examples. She needs that. And I'm speaking for you, Mom, and you know I'm right. There's nothing that thrills your heart more to, hey, they noticed that. They remembered that. Seems like all my kids remember about me is the times I beat the living daylights out of them. That's all I hear about. Dad, don't you remember that time you beat me? Yeah, I couldn't walk for 3 days. No, I don't remember that. It irritates me. You don't remember when I helped you get your car, and you don't remember when I did this for you and that, and I showed up, and I remember how mad you got when I... Don't do Mom that way today. She needs you. She needs to hear from you. She needs to know that you love her and that you care. I put down for the O is your mom has an optimism about you that is unrivaled. You see, when other people don't believe you can amount to anything, there's something about your mom that believes that you can do well. My mom was that way about me. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes even today, not that I'm anything or that, but you know, whatever accomplishments and whatever the Lord's allowed me to get in this life or do in this life, it all blows my mind because I don't deserve to be blessed in the way that God has blessed me. And I say that with genuine sincerity. But my mom would always say to me when I would get down, she'd say, Frank, I believe in you. And she always did. She believed that, she believed in me too much. She believed I could do anything, which I can't. But, and I was working, I was on my own very, very young in life. And my mother was not able. She didn't have the resources to take care of five kids. And I was the oldest son, and I said, Mom, that's okay. I'll do what I can, and I did what I could. But she always would say, you know, Frank, you're a man, you know, and I believe in you. And she'd give me words that I needed to hear, and I'm grateful for that. The U I put, she's understanding. She understands you when no one else can. I remember one time, there's three or four times in my life when I really felt like I was at the end of my ropes. And my mom was a waitress in... she worked for Shoney's, and she worked her way up. She became a night manager and always worked in the restaurant business because she didn't have an education. She didn't go to school past the sixth grade. She was a strikingly beautiful woman, but she got pregnant very, very early in life, and things didn't go well in the home. So she didn't have an education from the world standpoint. So she worked as a waitress, and even now, every time a waitress comes to my table when I'm through, when I'm thinking about the bill and the tip, every tip that I've given in 30-something years, I always give thinking about my mother. I know how hard that work is. And I know how she'd stack up those coins, you know, and she'd make sure that kids had lunch money and stuff like that. And sometimes I'd see her crying when she didn't think that it was enough to give everybody some lunch money and then still have over for whatever she was she needed. But I went to Mom. She was working the night shift at Shoney's in Hoover, and I was at the end of my rope. I was just ready to just cash in. I mean, I can't describe how totally difficult life was for me at that point, and my heart was just torn out of frame. And I said, Mom, and I was working, but I didn't get paid for a week or so, and Mother didn't have anything. I said all that other to explain. She had nothing. I said, can you have a few dollars so I can get some gas? I gotta go. I got to get out of here for a while. I got to get my head on straight. I got to find out what I'm going to do. I was just really rattled. My old car wasn't worth the hoot, and Mom had a vehicle that was much better, and she went back to the back. She reached in. She handed what money she had, put it in my hand, put the keys to her car in my hand, and told me when I had to be back. Never asked me a word. Never said, what's wrong with you, Frank? Where are you going? What have you got to do? She looked at me, and she looked in her son's eyes that day, and she knew that he needs some space. He needs some time. And I got in that car, and I drove, and of course, I've always been grateful because I needed that, and that's all I can say about that right now. But she understood. like no one else could. And then the R, I put down this, and I got to pick up the pace a little bit, but I didn't really mean to get so nostalgic about my own life. I was trying to help you moms here. The R, she's reproducing herself in you. You know, the little skit we saw today, you know, you say, hey, I'm not my mom, but yet you see yourself doing all the things that your mom did. Bone of her bone, your flesh for flesh. She is reproducing herself in you. And if you don't have children yet, you will have children one day. And if you do have children, you might be surprised how many times you choose to do a lot of things like your mom did them. Honor your mother. The Old Testament said you can get killed for not doing it. Exodus 21:17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I can't believe some of the things I hear people say to their parents these days. Let's focus back on, in a few minutes I got left, with Matthew 15:5 here. What is Jesus telling these people? But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. The word is doron, doron. If you shall say to your father or your mother, doron, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. What's he talking about here? Well, the Jews understood it, and these people that came to him questioning, they understood it. This is what was going on. They didn't have Social Security back then, didn't have CDs and portfolios and stock market and all those kind of things that would take care of a parent in their older years if they were able to put anything up. Most of them would work hard all their life, and when they came down to the end of life's journey, they had very little of this world's good, and it became the responsibility of the child to take care now of the parent who's no longer able to work. And so what happened was, is the working children, they're in their careers now, and they're making their money, and mom and dad are getting older, and they're not able to do that. And so the responsibility or part of the Ten Commandments involved the fact that you take care of them when they're not able to work because they've taken care of you all these years. And Jesus looked at these Pharisees that were so concerned about washing hands. He looked at them and he says, well, let me ask you guys something. You go around saying doron over all your material possessions. Now, what does that mean? It's marked out as a gift for God. In other words, like these extra things that you have, these monetary things, well, you know, we're gonna say a vow over that and mark that off. That only belongs to God, and that only belongs to God, and that only belongs to God. And your parents' health is kind of failing, and they're needing some help. But now you've got everything marked off, all belonging to God. And what the custom was is that if you did this, nobody could touch it. It was a loophole. It was a way to protect your possessions from being used to do anything else with, in this case, support your own parents. And you people walk around here acting so religious, so pious, so spiritual, so wonderful, and guess what? You've got everything that you've been blessed with marked off that belongs to God, when in reality you know it doesn't belong to God. It's just you're using this loophole to keep from giving back to your own parents. Shame on you people, he's saying. You claim to love God, and you do, he said, you do the same thing with me. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You know, if you want to find out where somebody's heart is, follow the money. Isn't that how Watergate was exposed? They followed the money. And now we got all these investigations that are trying to follow money. I'm going to tell you, you want to find out where people are with their relationship with the Lord, follow the money. You know, people that love God don't mind giving. And so here are these people. They were supposed to be the, you know, the barristers of love and devotion. And now he says to them, but you won't give. And your own parents have needs, but yet you have protected your monetary things, and you claim to love them. And you think just by saying doron, or it's a gift, or if it's marked off for God, then you're okay. He said, no, you have broken the commandment of God. And so you think this all important about hand washing business. And that's the thing about Phariseeism. They get hung up on things that are just really hang ups. They're not important. I want to read this. Having said this, I want to read this text from the Amplified Version. I'll be through in just a few moments. Short sermon today. Matthew 15, 5 through 6, reading the same. This is from the Amplified Version. And you know where you see brackets and you see the highlighted, that's not my writings. That in the Amplified, it kind of provides commentary with the scriptures as you go through it. I love to read this particular translation. So let's look at it here. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what would you gain, what you would have gained from me? That is, the money and whatever I have that might be used for helping you is already dedicated as a gift to God. Then he's exempt and no longer under obligation to honor and help his father and mother. See, if he marks that off as a gift, he don't have to use it to help people with. So for the sake of your tradition, Jesus says to them, these rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority and making it of no effect. You're making void the commandment of God, which the commentator says that to do so deprives God's word of its force and authority, and the commandment has no effect. But it does have an effect in this sense. There's going to be a consequence for your actions. And so honoring your mother is not really an option. I mean, you may not choose to do it, but there will be a consequence for dishonoring her. Let me close with this. How do we honor our mother? And here's just a little acronym I've also kind of used. Number one, help her. Help her. You know, it annoys me when I see moms still doing all the work on special days, you know, and the younger, more energetic and able bodies, and they're just sitting around doing nothing while mom's still slaving, doing all the things she's always done. Help her. See, Mom, you ought to love me today. I mean, I'm a batting for you, all right? Go help your mother, all right? She needs your help. I can understand why the kids are upset, but why aren't you mama smiling at me? Obey her. Now, this is to young children. You see, when you're a child, the commandment's clear. You're to obey her, okay? Now, as you get older and you become an adult child, it's not so much about following her rules as it is valuing her thoughts. I'm not going to tell you if you're a grown woman or a grown man. I don't think, you know, if your mother says, no, you can't, I want you to get home now and you got to be home by 10 o'clock. You know, I don't think you have to do that. But it's about giving value to their words, to their advice. This is for all ages, the end here. Never be mean to her. You'll regret it if you do. And you're going to reap what you sow. That's enough to terrify you there. The O here, offer to help her. Observe her words. That's how to honor her. You pray to understand her better. You know, that's the thing that the Lord helped me with. You know, I used to really be upset with my mom about some things. I look back and I think, you know, Mom, why did you do that? And then when I got older and I could better understand all her life and what she'd been through, and I thought, my Lord, I'd probably be worse than my mother if all those things made worse choices than she made if all those things were happening to me. So pray to understand her better. I recently told someone that was really going through a heartache, that was having a hard time dealing with something. I said, accept the fact that that's the way your life was and it wasn't perfect. Just accept it. Say it right now. That's the way it was. It wasn't perfect. But then try to understand that there's always something good that can come out of it. And then finally, reward her. You know how the best way to reward her? Be the right kind of person. There's nothing that make your mom prouder today than find out, hey, you know, you're a good person. You know, you have character, and you have integrity, and you have you're good to your kids, and then you're good to your husband, and you're doing life right. That's the greatest reward a mother could have. You remember the woman in Proverbs 31? What did he say? Her husband and her children, they praise her out there in the streets. That's her reward. When they go outside of the home, they talk about what a wonderful person she is. That is her reward. Honor her. It's your command. It's a God-given command. Now, let me say, as Keith gets our song ready this morning, let me say this. First of all, as important as this commandment is, nothing is more important than your own personal relationship with God. Because to be quite honest with you, we really can't keep any of the commandments without first beginning with salvation. You know, the first commandment says that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all of our soul. You can't do that until you know God. So I'll ask you this question. Are you yourself a believer? Are you a child of God? Have you ever committed your life to Jesus Christ? Have you ever said to the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. And you ask him to come in your heart and you surrendered your life to him. Have you ever started there? That's the only way that life can really begin in a spiritual sense that can put you in and help you to become, if you're indeed a mother, help you become the mother that you need to be. And then if you're not a mother, help you become the person that you need to be. It all starts with knowing God in a personal way. Do you know him? Are you saved? Are you born again? He said, well, yes. Okay, well, let me ask you this. What kind of Christian are you? I mean, do you live for God? I mean, are you just, you're here today, but I mean, what about day in and day out? Are you a person that strives to honor the commandments? That's what Jesus was pointing out about these people here. They made much out of all these traditions, and they just set aside what God's word said. How are you in terms of obeying God's word? If you're a believer, what kind of believer are you? Because what I'm saying is, we're all setting that kind of example in front of the people that are watching our lives. Honor your mother. But it all begins with honoring God. It all begins with having a relationship with God that is real and personal. And you can't keep any of the commandments in there in terms of their perfection without the grace of God and the help of the Spirit of God. And so it begins with knowing him. Do you know him? If you don't know him, you can know him. He wants to give you his life. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to make you a new creature in Christ. He wants to change you. And he can change you, and he will change you. You surrender to him. As we bow our heads this morning, I pray for you. And I want to pray that God's Holy Spirit would speak to the heart. Whatever your situation is, if you're not a believer, you'd come and you'd trust Christ. If you're saved but you're not where you should be, I pray you'd get that right with God. Maybe you're estranged from your own mother or your father or your parents. You need to get that right. Whatever the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you about, I pray that God would give you the grace to humble yourself and bring that need to him. Father, I pray, humbly ask you to do in this service what only you can do. And that is speak to hearts and bring them to a place where they commit their life to you. First of all, in terms of their salvation, that they'd come and they'd understand that without you, Lord, they're lost. They need to be born again. And give them, Lord, that witness, that powerful testimony of your saving grace so that they can trust you today. And then, Lord, for that one that may be saved, but yet they're following you at a distance and they're not where they should be, I pray this morning would be the morning they would just respond to the challenge to be what you want them to be. Lord, you have your way in this invitation moment. I pray humbly in Christ's name. Amen. Will you stand as we sing?